Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, by the power of your word and working in your Holy Spirit, make your word alive to us. Your word is Jesus, that he may live in us and we might always live in him. In his name we pray. Amen. Our epistle lesson for today from St. Paul is just a little weird, right? I mean, in it, we hear, don't get married and don't do this and don't have these relationships and live like this and live like this and disregard all these things so that men won't be preoccupied with their wives and wives won't be preoccupied with their husbands and so on with their children. It's kind of a weird lesson. And I think a lot of times we hear this lesson and we hear this reading and we think, what in the world is going on here? Because, you know, marriage is such a blessed estate from God. Being parents is such a blessed gift from God. And so, like, what is St. Paul talking about? I don't know. Do you? Well, it just so happens I kind of was revealed that a little bit by the Holy Spirit. I want to share that with you. You see, it's plain and simple what St. Paul is saying to us today. He doesn't disregard marriage. He doesn't disregard being a parent. He doesn't disregard all of these priorities that God gives us. But what he's saying to us is that above every priority we have in this world, there is one priority that must be there for everything else to fall in line. For our marriages to be good, for our parenting to be good, for our jobs to be good with our families, and so on and so forth. And that is, Jesus has to come first. God has to come first. The reality is, in our world today, we're not very good at putting God first. I mean, I think of our Old Testament lesson today and from the book of Jonah. I think about Jonah, right? Here he was, and at first he wasn't going to put God first. He was going to put his own desires first. I am not going to Nineveh. I'm not going to do this. I'm going to go on a ship. I'm going to pretend to be one of these sailors. And what happens? He gets thrown overboard. He gets swallowed by a big fish. And then I love what the Hebrew says. He was vomited up into dry land. And then suddenly he has this change of heart and mind, right? Okay, I guess I better put God first. The reality is, you and I don't put God first very often in this world. The first reality of that is every time we sin, right? Every time we sin, whether we consider it a big sin or a small sin, you see, all sin is equal to God. I like to talk about it this way. When we look at a city skyline, like here in Fort Worth or New York City or wherever you might live, you see buildings and some are taller than others and some are shorter than those, and that's the perspective we had. When God sees sin, he's looking down from above, and I don't know if you've ever flown in an airplane, you look down from way high up to a city down beneath you, and all the buildings, well, they kind of look the same height. It's hard to judge that depth. Well, when God sees our sinfulness, no matter if it's the small building or the big building, they all look the same height. So if you steal a pencil or a paperclip from your coworker at church, or you murder somebody or commit adultery, no matter what that sin is, and God's eyes, they're all equal, and they're all punished by damnation and hell. Every one of our sins, whether it's evil thoughts against somebody, or lust in our hearts, or using pornography, or overeating, or overdrinking, or smoking and hurting our body, or whatever that might be, whatever your sin is in your life that you struggle with, every one of them is punishable and damnable by God. And the reality is, every time we sin, and it's a conscious choice on our part, yes, we can blame Satan, but no, we really can't, because we do it on our part, by our choice, we are not putting God first. I see it a lot in marriages these days, right? You know, I just said to my congregation on Sunday, my in-person sermon, that what makes me sad is we as a church begin to not look at certain sins. We turn away. The reality is, outside of adultery and abandonment and abuse, divorce is wrong. It's just plain and simple wrong. It's not part of God's design, right? He allows these reasons for divorce that must be there for the protection of the persons involved, but outside of that, it's wrong, period. And we as a church turn away from that, right? So see, in our lives, even as a church, we fail at putting God first. And so we see this breakdown in family. God didn't intend for divorce to happen. When divorce happens, it hurts the children. It hurts the family around it. And it decays our view of what God's relationship with the church is, as Jesus is the groom and the church is his bride. Right? So, you know, we see this in our world today. We also see it in husbands and wives. You know, I see it a lot of times. Two people cohabitating together instead of going to counseling or working on their marriage and putting priority first of commitment and sharing that love. Again, family hurts and breaks down because of that. We see children turning against parents. How common is that in our world? Now, there is a caveat. I understand if you've been abused sexually, physically, mentally, or emotionally, you have to set a boundary with your parents. If you have parents that are passive-aggressive and overactive, you have to set a boundary. I get that. You still love them from a distance. You still love them and want the good for them. You pray for them, but you have to set a boundary or protect yourself. But so often I see children turning against parents because they didn't get what they wanted. They're entitled and narcissistic. You didn't raise me right. You didn't give me everything I wanted. Fill in the blank. And this is the culture and society we live in, failing to put God first and being good children and honoring mother and father with exception. You know, I see it in so many different ways in the breakdown of relationships, right? You know, Jesus says, bear one another's burdens, and in this way you fulfill the law of Christ. And his law, as we know, is love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And so then we see this breakdown, right? We're not bearing each other's burdens. As a matter of fact, I see it in the church, which is the most vilest of places that happens. I mean, I'm sickened by it, but it's in every institution. It's even in our families. Oh, that person has a mental illness, so I'm not going to love them. Or that person has a different political view than mine, so I'm not going to love them. Or that person, you know what they did, right? And then the gossip enters in, right? I tell people all the time, I hate gossip, and I see it so badly in the church. You know, you see it when somebody gets mad. Let's say they get mad at the pastor, right? And some of these people are so narcissistic, they cause trouble, and they start gossiping, and then they draw other people in, and they're sinning, and then the people who are drawn in are sinning, and before you know it, they're all triangulated against the pastor or whoever it is, and look how gross it is, because we don't put God first. If we have conflict with our brother and sister, we still bear together in love. We follow Matthew 18, and we take care of that conflict by lovingly and gently talking together and working through it. But no, God is not our priority. He's not first place in our lives. So it breaks down in our relationships in our world. I think it also damages us as we live in this society. I'm going to be very blunt about this. I am sickened by what I see in our country today. If we Christians had as much passion for Jesus and God's kingdom as a lot of us have for politicians and politics, can you imagine how different the world would be? If we put God first, if we stopped putting our faith, our trust, our allegiance, our whatever into politics, into government, and even our own country, because before God, the United States or whatever country, China, none of them matter to God because there's only one nation and one kingdom, and that's all his people. All of this is going to hell in a handbasket. It's going to be destroyed one day, but God's kingdom, because of Jesus, remains forever. Now just imagine for a second if we put God first, if we were loyal to him as our king and our ruler and our leader. Imagine what the world would be like. There would be more unity, there'd be more love, there'd be more peace, there'd be less racism, there'd be less violence in our world, less war. How beautiful that would be. I would love to live in a world like that, but less of it. Probably won't go away completely because there's still a sinful, fallen world, but less of it, right? There'd be less bitterness and less arguing if we truly put God first. More people would come to the knowledge of Christ Jesus and be saved. Instead, in the United States today, we have gotten so lazy as Christians and have been, as a church, and not just my congregation, the whole Christian church in the United States has failed God. In fact, I think of the Revelation letter that Paul writes to Ephesus, and he says, you've lost your first love, you've lost Jesus, and that's the church in the United States, because it cares more about organized religion, it cares more about politics and doctrine, which is man-made, than anything else. And I'm in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and we're more guilty of that than most churches, because we fail at putting Jesus first, the Word first. And then what happens is we get so inward focused that people are dying all around us. As the church decreases, as the church is destroyed by Satan in this world, people go to hell without the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we may say that's their fault for not believing, but no, it's our fault. Because we fail to put God first. We aren't going to Nineveh. Hell no, we're not going to Nineveh. I don't want to go to Nineveh. And what happens? These are harsh words and harsh reality. But if I don't preach about them, even to myself, because you know what, I'm a failure too. I don't feel like going to Nineveh. I choose sin in my life. I sometimes get a little over rambunctious about politics because I'm a miserable human. I have my weaknesses, I have my fears, I have my doubts, and sometimes I even doubt my faith. And if you've never heard a pastor say that before, then they're lying to you. They're pretending not to be human, and they're just straggling you along in this organized religion that they want, right? Because even I doubt, and I have my issues, and I'm not the best husband, and I'm not the best pastor. I screw up in pastoring so many times, I look back and I look at how many people I probably hurt in my ministry, and it destroys me inside. Because I feel to put God first. This is all of us. And this is a hard message for me to hear. My eyes are filling with tears because I realize, oh my Lord, God have mercy on me. Look at the trail of destruction and chaos I've left in your kingdom. Lord, forgive me and have mercy on me. I want you to be first. I need you to be first. And this is what St. Paul says in our lesson for today. Jesus must come first. Oh, how beautiful that even though we fail at putting God first, God the Father put you and me first. Didn't he? Come on. How amazing that is. That in Jesus Christ, his Son, he put us first. He sent his Son into this world. Perfect God, yet perfect man. To live in submission and surrender to you and me. To live in the standards of pretty much poverty at his time. To live in submission and surrender in a ministry where he was mocked, made fun of, and threatened. To live in a life in this world where he was arrested because he didn't fit in with the religion and organized religion of his day. He was battered and bruised, beaten bloody for you and for me. He put us first as he went to the cross, taking on the punishment that we deserved, taking that punishment on himself to die for us, to forgive our sins, so that we might be first with God again. And then continuing to put us first, he burst forth from the tomb to assure you and me that the kingdom of heaven is ours and that we are first in God's kingdom and we will live forever. We will live forever in his eternal kingdom where there is no more violence and hatred and bitterness and racism and war, but where there will be perfection and joy and praise and healing and strength and good food and good wine and maybe not doctrinally correct, but all my puppy dogs too. And Reese's peanut butter cups so we can eat them and not gain weight. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? You see, even though we fail miserably putting God first, he still puts us first. Even though we fail and fail and fail, God picks us up by the power of his Son, Jesus Christ, through word and through sacrament, through the power of his Holy Spirit, he picks us up, dusts us off over and over again, and says to us, my beloved son or daughter, I love you and you are first in my kingdom. My kingdom belongs to you. Now go on your way and try again and again and again. And again. Instead of focusing on our failures, let us focus on Jesus who put us first. And in so doing, I firmly believe and know that the power of the Holy Spirit through the joyous gospel of Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of the Lord's Supper will work in that and within us a strength that focuses on him, that places him first, and blesses every one of our relationships in this world, including being disciples and ambassadors for Jesus to those who don't know him. This is most certainly true. And it is not only our hope, but our promise. You are first to God, and you matter to him. In Jesus' name, amen.